Hello, I'm Isawellen Writes, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown Up Storytime. I am going live. Do you see me going live? I'm inviting my friend Seven of Night from across the world to come in and to chat and to read some poetry, to ask and answer some questions, just to talk to him and listen to his unique voice and his unique accent, get a chance to chat late night. It is after 11 my time. He's asking me how to come in. Ah, and there he is. Hello.
Hi, Issa, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's your voice. I'm like, that deep voice.
Oh, thank you very much.
How are you?
I have no complaints. I have coffee and I've got a lovely voice on the other side of the line.
Yes, far away on the other side of the world. What time is it there?
It is now 17 minutes to 8 in the morning, Thursday morning.
Good Lord, Thursday morning, and it is still, what day is it? It's 10:43 on Wednesday.
For me, it's Thursday.
See, I knew you had a different day of the week, you know, that we didn't always line up. I had to stay up quite late to actually talk to you and write with you. So I have not, there are two things I haven't done. I haven't outed, really, just a little bit, that I am also the poet, My Darling, I haven't told anybody that we have written poetry together. That's the big secret. Nobody know. I mean, other than in the Twitter feed, which is pretty obvious.
Yes.
that's people have said things to me about that. I've had people say, "What's going on with you and Seven?" I'm like, "Nothing. Just writing poetry."
Just a little bit of writing.
just normal stuff. Just writing.
Yeah. Day to day. Scientific research papers and such.
Oh, yes. Just plain old writing poetry. So I don't know when I met you. It was probably, was it almost a month ago, 2 months ago?
I'm guessing 2-3 months, maybe.
2-3 months ago? Has it been that long?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yes. I think I followed your My Darling account first. Or you followed me, I can't remember. But it's been a while.
Yes. Yes. I should look back because some of those first poems, I really like those first poems. In fact, I kind of want to put those in the project we've been working on. I need to go back and find them and put them in there. I don't know. I printed it up. So Seven and I have written some poetry together, and I have about 6,000 words of poetry.
Oh, that's not too bad.
That's not too bad. And then if we pick and choose between the two of us what we have and just enter, add a little bit more, I think we could get, you know, between 10 and 15, I think would be good. And then we'll actually have a book. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Does that sound
that's
good?
Quite a lot of words.
You didn't think you could write that much poetry.
No, not really. I think I'm somewhat one-dimensional when it comes to writing poetry. I sort of gravitate to the same type of thing over and over. Probably because that's what I like.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's why you have followers. That's what everybody likes. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And it is along the same vein. Yeah, a lot of mine is kind of the same way. It's not always, but most 90% of my poetry is on the same topic. Let's just put it that way.
But I think you've got a lot more, much more depth than I would have, for example. A lot of poets I've seen on Twitter, or even some of the writers. I mean, your ability to just get into a scene, whatever it may be, is really amazing.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. I don't know. I think you're pretty talented yourself. You may tend to write about some of the same stuff, but you really don't. So, how would you describe your poetry? How would you describe what you write? I mean, you said it's all generally on the same topic, which audience, yes, if you don't know, tends to be on the erotic side. I did name you. You have now been labeled an erotic poet. So, but.
Well, I don't think of myself as a writer or a poet, just more of a person that tweets stuff that's somewhat dark and erotic, obviously. I like the darker side of it. I think the more lighter side gets a lot of attention already, and the dark side is a bit lacking. From what I've seen, I might be wrong.
No, you could be. I mean, really, for what we follow and what's on Twitter, the darker side of the poetry, the darker side of the erotic, really, I mean, if you think about it worldwide, it's what, 500, maybe you've got about 500 followers now, but really, and those aren't all writers, you know, they're really only about 10 or 20 writers that are really writing, that are really, and you've had some evolution, but you've always liked a little bit of the more, that's why I wanted to write with you, because you've always liked a little bit more of the beastly side of the dark. And you know, even that, sometimes stuff like that will pop up, but you're pretty consistent at it, because that's just your voice, I guess you would say. That's your dark voice.
Yeah.
And you're a lot more consistent at it than other people who just like stab at it once in a while. And yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
Yeah, it's my territory and don't mess with it.
Is that your territory? And you're one of the only men. Women will write it every now and then. But you know, there might be a handful. The men tend to devolve pretty quickly into some kind of, you know, be my slut kind of thing, you know? They kind of devolve. Their beef tends to devolve into an asshole pretty quickly, actually. So, yeah. And that's not creative to me at all. I mean, I got to tell you.
Yeah, you see a lot of that on when you read literotica as well, when the men write it. Yeah, it sort of goes that direction. Somewhat boring.
Yeah, it's the same thing over and over, and you're like, you're just writing for yourself. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know who you're writing. So can you tell me a little bit, what do you feel? I mean, I've noticed an evolution in your writing journey, and some. Do you wanna tell me about that? You know, from when you first got onto Twitter and first started writing, and now you're so much more comfortable.
I think it's the question. It's a question of having an audience, one would say, or some interaction. Because initially, when you start off, you've got very few followers, if any. So you've got to be very careful of what you write. So you tend to gravitate towards something, some sensual, romantic type poetry. And as your followers build and you get more followers that are interested in erotic stuff, then you can escalate it. And then if the more support you get for that type of writing, then you can sort of let yourself come forward. And I haven't shown all of myself just yet in the writing. It's still building. But you have to have that sort of comfort zone with your followers, and then, you know, the friends you make on Twitter, you know, like yourself. I mean, a lot of the stuff I wouldn't have written if it was not for the support I've received from you and the confidence that you've given me. So a lot of it's due to you.
This isn't about me. It's all about you. I just told you there was an audience for it because there is. You know, that was when you were writing that before, there really, and I think you found your audience there.
Yeah, I do get one or two likes on a tweet these days.
Oh, one or two. You cracked me at one or two. Yeah, I think you found your one.
Yeah, I tend to when I write, and I know this frustrates you sometimes. Is if I go the next day and I go through my tweets and I see I didn't get a retweet, that's sort of my standard. Then I just delete it.
No, it is very frustrating because just because people don't, you know, find that one, the Twitter feed moves very fast and not everybody goes back through your feed and sees what you wrote that night and makes sure to, you know, be supportive and or read everything. A lot of people miss it. And so you're deleting good stuff. And that's... And if you're like me, that's the only place you're writing it, isn't it? That's once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, once it's gone, it's gone. I've started to think I must actually write it down in pen and paper just in case.
Oh, yes, you should. You know, when you, I know last week you got upset and you were going to delete. I about had a heart attack. I'm like, all those poems are gone. What if he doesn't? And I know once you do that, you always have a month to come back. But I was like, not happy. I'm like, seven.
It happens now and then.
No, you better start writing them down elsewhere. I mean, I have the ones we did together, but there's so much good stuff there. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Don't do that again.
I sometimes do get it, and I think, oh, damn it, I wrote a good one there, and then I can't find the photo that went with it because I just found it somewhere on Tumblr, but I couldn't remember the words, but then you just keep up.
I lost it. Where's that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Twitter has a great search, though, so that's what I'll do. I'll search... I know that I do. I have favorite words that I'll use over and over and over again. So I'll just search one of those words and be like, okay. And then and usually it'll pop up somewhere. If I search enough words, it'll pop up. I'm going to share this out. It's very late most places in the world, but I don't know. Maybe someone will come and visit us. So... that's your evolution. I wanted to ask, there were a few other questions I wanted to ask. Like, they're very weird, so you're just going to have to answer and just go with it, okay? So, what's your favorite body part on a woman?
It's so difficult to say because I couldn't pick one. I mean...
Give me your top five.
Top five. Okay, let's say eyes, mouth, hips, hands, definitely hands, neck.
Eyes, mouth, hips, neck. You get one more. Wow, non-traditional body parts. That's really good.
Another one. Let's say... I think jawline for some reason.
Oh, jawline. Those are all parts women would pick.
Well, it's not, it wouldn't be that strange because growing up, I had two sisters. I'm currently surrounded by three women continuously. So, I mean, I just sort of all my life grew up with women or were with women, not so much men, so it might be why I pick similar things.
Could
possibly.
Be. You are very much a gentleman. You are very much a gentleman poet. And I know that that's very important to you, not to offend or, and that's probably why you some of your growing in the poetry is you're like, well, I want to write this stuff, but a lot of women would be really angry if I wrote this stuff. So,
yes, I remember the first time I wanted to, you know, use like breasts in a poem, and I was very, very, it took me a while to write something regarding that because, you know, you got all these guys on Twitter, you know, that want to send dick pics and want to see breasts all the time. So, it, you know, you don't want to sort of fall in the, or feel like you're falling in the, in this, that sort of same category as they are. So some of the, you know, it's sometimes difficult to write about some stuff as a man.
Yes.
Well, at least for me, yes.
As a man who's a gentleman. Yes, totally. I get it. It can be, you know, I kind of have the same problem. So I was challenged to write the 20 days. I don't know if you saw the name, but it was called 20 days it was a gift for somebody. 20 days on my knees. And it was very erotic, very straightforward poetry. And trying to write that particular, actually, I found it's really easy to write that, you know, 20 different ways. And then I used photos from Stefan at SWL Photographic. I think I'm saying that right. Stefan SWL. Is that right? So I used some of his photos. Some of them, I mean, he doesn't have, most of his photos, as you know, are of women and are erotic photos of women, but he has some of him himself and some other male models that are, I don't know if you've seen it, but he did a video that was, it's just a black and white video that feels very film noir that I saw that was so raw to me. And so, I mean, it's porn, but good Lord, it was like art. It was so intimate. And some of his photos are just so intimate. And it's like you're not looking at porn. You've been invited into this really intimate, unique moment. And he had one that I wanted to, that he had posted, and I'm like, oh, I want to write, but if I write about, because it was a dick pic, but it was beautiful.
Yes.
But my thing was, if I write about that, am I gonna get a lot of people in my and I did, I mean, not a lot, and they're mostly polite. Usually people are, you know, now I've got my disclaimer up, so people are a lot, that only happened to me once, just so you know, but where somebody's like, hello, and I'm like, what the no, thank you. But so anyway, so I had written that poetry, and I was afraid to. I was like, what are people going to think? I mean, what will be the response? And you have a lot of women readers, but a lot of my readers tend to be men. And which is another reason why I wanted to do the book, is because I thought, well, maybe we can write poetry together and kind of even this out. But it's I'm not. I've asked people, I've asked my girlfriends why, and I do have some women readers who are like, your poetry is amazing, but it, you know, I know why women like you come, oh, that's my alarm. I mean, you don't, but I do. So that's really clear. I know why the women like you, Seven. And I know why the men are like, you know, because you're competition. So I get that, but I don't, I you know, because my stuff is pretty subtle. I don't know. Some of it is, some of it not so much, but.
I think it's definitely subtle and sensual. I think if you can work that into a poem, then you could almost say anything you like. I mean, you know, if I look at even some of my poems where I talk about death or kill me or something like that, it's not gruesome. It's like sensual.
Yes. No, it is. It really is. Yeah. I love the poems where you really push the, you know, where you let your dark out, you really go dark, and you're like, you know, if you come near me, you may not come out alive, but you may come out, you know, you may have a very good time. And and I like the, I mean, because they're not, they're, Oh, they speak to the part of me that loves werewolves, you know, that, and women everywhere, yes. I think, you know, that likes that dark thing in the forest, that likes to tease and play with that. And very much so in so many ways. So, somebody had popped into my DMs once, and he's, you know, they like, so your poetry. And I'm like, yeah, I could be writing about anything. I'm writing about vacuum cleaners. You don't even know. You know? it's not like I'm using the words, so you don't know. I mean, this one right here, this could be a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
I really like that vacuum cleaner, but he didn't come back. I don't know why. That's usually what happens. I play a little bit.
Don't be surprised to see some vacuum cleaning poems from me today.
I hope so. That'd be so funny. If I wake up tomorrow and there's a vacuum cleaner poem, I'm going to be like...
Oh, I've already got one in mind.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. I have the scene in my mind.
Oh, I can't wait. That'll be so funny. Sensual vacuum cleaner. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's too funny. Okay. Oh, wait. I need to ask you another question. So I did your women's body parts. Okay. Weird questions.
Okay.
Seven. Yes. I have seen these pictures that you've posted, and I can't. Do you not wear underwear?
No, I do.
Do
I
you?
I do mostly.
Mostly.
I'm wearing a button shirt today. I've got underwear on.
Oh, good. You're fully dressed today.
I should probably put on pants, but...
Oh, no!
No, I'm just kidding. I'm fully dressed today. I've got underwear on and everything.
Good. Yeah. And your shoes and everything. And you're fully dressed. Yeah, so you've got your button-down shirt. Button-downs are my favorite. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, and I'm quite colorful today as well. I'm not wearing black or white or gray. Yeah, actually, I've got a blue and turquoise striped shirt on, which, I'm a rainbow.
Really? It's stripes even?
Even stripes. Oh, no solid colors.
I don't even, you better take a picture. I don't believe you. Stripes? Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen you in stripes.
I'll definitely post one later.
I hope so. Okay, so here are some other questions. Let's see, where's the other one I wanted to make sure to ask? I know. Do you have any poetry that inspires you that you read? Anything that...
Probably don't read as often as I should anymore, and I never actually read, books of poetry, but I do like the Anais Nin type poems, or the interactions she has, I think, like in Delta of Venus. I really like it.
I have heard of them, but I've never read those either.
I like the way she describes things. I try and do that as well, when you write, to describe the scene, the setting, how it feels, what it smells like. Try and, capture all of the senses and sort of paint the scene. Again, if you read some other poems, or even if you read Literatica, it's so boring to me when there's no, how does it actually feel? What does it look like? What does it sound like? That to me is important.
Yeah.
The senses. Yeah.
Yeah. I always go through that. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. So if you had a sense, if you, out of your senses, if you had... to if you only had one, what would be the most important one?
I would say feeling, but not as in touch, as in sort of a like a soul connection or a mind connection. I take that over, all of the others.
That's a really beautiful thing. I want a poem about that too. That's a really unique idea. You know that I was that kind of that energy sense of another person and soul connection. That
And did you
is.
feel it? Yeah, when you write on on Twitter and you have you're writing in a thread to in response to someone else's poem.
Yes.
If that connection is not there, it just doesn't work. But if that connection is there, that's
It is. It's
it comes quite
really
heated.
amazing. Sometimes it's so easy to get a little bit carried away because that connection can be really intense and it's really unique, and you don't have to fight for the words. They're just like the back and forth, and then your brain is working, and I love that. I love the mental connection of that, because that outside of poetry, I guess I did some drama when I was younger, and there were a couple people where in when we did our little kind of improvisational things that you could really respond to and act off of, and that was just a unique connection. And I kind of I had it. That was really good. I was young then, so I didn't really see the value in it. I was like, oh, I could just do this, whatever. And now, and so it didn't come around again until we started writing poetry. And I write with you, and there's this other guy who's also in. He's in Africa. What part of Africa is huge? So I don't remember.
We're slightly bigger than the whole of North America. Well, I'm in South Africa, so that's very far to the south, at the edge of the world.
I don't know. He might be in North Africa. I don't remember. And he's much younger, but he jumped on my poetry once and was writing with me back and forth. And I write really well with him. And somebody was asking me, don't you ever write with women? And I'm like, no, not really. It's not on purpose.
It just
I mean, I don't know what we'd write. We could write something really nice, I suppose, but it's not the same chemistry.
the chemistry has to be there. Definitely.
It's very different. So I think that's so cool, though. Here you are, way across the world, and in fact, everybody I've done this with actually is way across the world in different countries that I've never met for. And we're like on this same wavelength, creating these word stories together. That's an amazing thing.
It absolutely is. It is. It's amazing.
It's yeah, it's like wow, this is like crosses languages even. I mean, I'm glad you do speak some English. That helps, but
Just a little bit.
it helps to that there's both, but you speak even you speak the English a little differently, so that's a really powerful thing. Oh wait, I had more questions. I set my phone down. I get to talking to you and I forget what I'm doing.
Sorry, not sorry.
Behave.
I'll try my best.
Good Lord, you're gonna get me in trouble.
If you're in trouble, just shout, I'll come save you, I
Oh,
promise.
will you? Oh.
Yes, absolutely.
If you could be a certain age forever, what age would that be? Would you be this age, or I don't know.
I think I'd pick 17. I always say that my body might be 48, but I'm still 17 inside. I'd like to go back to 17. Just
Did you enjoy 17? I'd like to be
yes.
21.
21,
I would so love to be 21. I did not live when I was 21. Do you think you lived when you were 17? Did you get,
No, not really, but I think it was, it's just more innocent, I would say, in a way. But
Yes.
I'd like to know what I know today and then be 17 again and
Oh, good Lord.
redo it, and
And have your
it will be
17 year old body and your 17 year old energy and your 17 year old.
Yeah, 17-year-old
Oh,
abs and
too much,
shoulders
too
and
dangerous, way too dangerous. We cannot, we cannot
that
unleash that upon the world. I don't think the women
would
of the
be too
world
dangerous. No,
could
definitely not. It'd
take
just be chaos.
it. Oh my gosh. If I knew what I knew when I was, oh wow, it would be very different. When I was
Yes.
21, 21 was a very good year for me, but at the same time, I was very restrained, much more restrained than I now. I wrote the poetry then, kind of, but I never would have shared it with anybody on the planet. There's just no way. But I have it. But I wrote it.
That's very, very interesting. I only started writing about 8, 9 years ago.
Really?
Yes, I
Why did you
never
start writing?
wrote. Actually, that's when Twitter started, and I joined Twitter, and it sort of ended up, following poets and writers. And back in those days, the haikus were still a big thing, and that interested me, and it sort of just evolved from there. And then obviously when you start connecting to people that are in a dominant, submissive relationship, that interests me even more, and then just start writing from there. Well, I just started writing from there, and then I stopped for a long time, and well, I'm back again.
How many incantations have you had on Twitter? How many times have you been?
I tended to change names a lot because I'm never satisfied, and luckily I'm sticking to one name though. Yeah, I think probably maybe 3 or 4. Some of the big accounts you see today used to be the small accounts that follow me. I see a lot of them around, and
Oh,
seen even some of
wow.
the yeah, I used to, I think at one stage, I think I was at 2,000 followers or so. Yeah. But that was way back. It was like 8 years
Way
ago,
back
9 years.
when. And so then you started all over. And so I haven't, I've only been on Twitter in, I don't know when. I started my poetry account in May. And I think I just got 500 followers, and some bigger accounts had followed me. I'm like surprised at some of the big accounts. Some of that is, algorithms. Nobody, when you're small numbers, nobody sees you anyways. So it has nothing to do with what you're. I'm just going to shout that out to people. If you're on Twitter, if you're a writer or and you're trying to get a following, you're 300 or 200, nobody sees you until you're about 1,000, really. And then
That's really
suddenly
true.
it grows and doubles, and that has nothing to do with your quality of content. You might get some really great followers who help share your stuff out, and that helps you grow. But don't be discouraged, because the Twitter algorithm just does startup accounts, or it's just so hard.
They just screw you
They
over.
really do. You
And
can
it's
have the.
basically
Go ahead.
when you're a big account. I've seen some of these big accounts. You could say the sky is blue, and you'd find 1,000 retweets. I mean, it's so frustrating when you're
That drive you
trying to
crazy?
use,
I'm
yeah,
like, somebody else said that before you, you know? I'm like, your little one-line quip, and I'm like, oh my
Yeah,
God.
no, it's
400
frustrating.
retweets. What in the world? No, I know I'm a better writer than that. Absolutely. Be so demoralizing. So I don't even, you know, now I'm just, you know, I just like, I sell more books than you. I'm terrible. you have 5,000 followers. I sell more books. I don't care. Yeah.
I go with, I'm definitely taller than you.
Yeah, there you go. How tall are you, Seven?
I'm 6'4" and a bit.
And a bit
is important, yeah. It's the important part.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes, you're taller. You're taller than a good part of the population. I have another friend who's like always lamenting tall guy problems. Do you have tall guy problems? Do you run into
things? You know? Yeah, you know, sometimes you hit your head on stuff and it's, you know.
Do you have a tiny car? A tiny European car. I mean,
I do actually. I don't drive my own car at the moment. I sold my car. I was planning to immigrate just before COVID hit, and yeah. So now I'm driving a small Mini Cooper, and fit in it. it's the weirdest thing when you stop next to someone and then this 6'4" guy stepped out of the car.
I really would love to see a video of that. You folding yourself out of the car, parking it. Oh my goodness. That's. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It's insured through the company, and the lady that does the insurance, she was like, when I filled in the forms and emailed it through to her, the email response back was just, how does your legs fit in there?
She saw your car and she's like, how does this work?
Yeah. So I just asked her, I said to her, so do you like my legs?
So you notice my legs?
Yeah. I didn't have a response, but the car is insured. So.
The car is insured. I could just see you. I mean, are your knees up to your chest?
Actually, it's quite more spacious inside than one would imagine. The front seat is right up against the the back seat. You can't sit behind me, not even if you were, I don't know. A baby probably might fit in there.
Maybe on the other side, but there's no room in the back.
No room in the back.
Oh, good Lord. That's too funny. So do you want to read that poem we wrote together? Would you like to read that?
Yes.
The Office? Do you want to do the Office? Should we read the whole? I have to read it without.
It's going to be an interesting read. I'm not sure how long I will last, but.
What do you mean? Make it? I try. Okay, so.
Yeah, it's like. At least in the second paragraph.
You make it sound like it's like, you know, bad or something. It's actually one of my favorite poems in the whole book.
Yeah, but you have to imagine that I'm sitting in that very same office right now that I had in my mind when we wrote it. So, you know.
Oh, but you're just very, you know, pure-minded as we, you know, just think wholesome thoughts as you read. And as I read, okay? Just think really wholesome thoughts about my reading. I don't care what you think about your own reading, but but my reading, I know that as my friend, you are thinking very wholesome thoughts the whole time. Take a breath. Oh, good Lord, I gotta do this. Okay, I can do this. Okay, I start. I'm just going to tell the audience, the way we wrote these is if you had heard the poem that I wrote with for Zane and I, it kind of has a back and forth. And so the way a lot of the poetry in the work that we did together is a back and forth, kind of a call and response. And there's all different kinds of things in the book. Male incubuses, I can't say it, and yeah, succubuses, incubi, and succubi, and there's some kind of beastly stuff from the forest, and there's some kind of, we tried some experimental stuff. I'm still trying to decide how I want to do and if we want to keep, but the office is kind of more just a very dominant and a submissive kind of role, but yeah. I like it a lot. I like this one. I like a lot of the other stuff, but this one just made sense to me.
Yeah, just another day at the office.
You know? Just another day at the office for Seven. And you know, you have women coming in and out of your office, I'm sure. They just stand there, you know.
Yeah,
this happens to you every day at the office, right?
Yeah, no, it's all the time. not really, but it has happened.
It has happened.
Yeah, no, definitely. Some of the furniture in my office.
That's how it got
been
broken.
Occupied.
Oh. Seven. you're so nice.
I was the victim.
You were the victim. I don't believe it.
I was just sitting here all innocently.
Yes, sure. I don't even believe it. I was talking to somebody about you and I'm like, yes, Seven is wonderful. He's a flirt. I love him to death. He's a flirt. That's all. So you just better watch out because, you know, and he loves all women. So it doesn't really matter. As long as you're 18, you're not safe.
Okay. Yeah, just lock up your wives and your girlfriends and your women. And, you know,
exactly.
Or you can just lock me up, I mean, in your basement.
One of the women, the single women on Twitter. I mean, there are times I really want to play Twitter dating. I think you should go with him and she should go with him and he should go with her. You guys would be so cute, but it doesn't work that way. But somebody's going to just lock you up as you walk down the street. Okay. I'm going to take a breath and start.
Okay.
I printed mine up so that I'd be able to read it. This is called The Office. I watch him across the office in reach, yet outside of touch, sitting silent at his desk. And I silent too, waiting, naked in my dress. Begging attention, I have not to ask, for he knows my want, my need. I sit smelling my own heat, feeling the tremble of my nerves, all set in dripping anticipation.
She is standing there in my sight, her slender neck, her goosebump skin, her nipples hard, as though they will shear her dress apart. She is an hourglass, flowing slow, her neck tilted slight, her lips in a teasing bite. Come to me, my groin is begging. Sweep my desk clean. Crawl to me slowly, my eyes stemmed, her obedience. She knows my expectations, our dance, our filthy, dirty, molten romance. She falls to her knees, eyes never leaving mine.
My breath escapes me, a small, tiny whine. I can't help it. I want this so bad. It's not degradation, but playful supplication. His animal call, an answer to mine. Dress gaping open, breasts swinging free. I crawl forward toward his welcome legs. This is what I want, what I desire. His taste, an addiction.
At my feet, my pretty pet, with glowing eyes that beg. I lift her chin with my fingertips, brush my thumb across her mouth. Her lips are ample and soft, warm and wet. I slide my thumb into her mouth. Her eyes fall closed and she starts to suck. Her tongue silky sleek, wrap around me. I can feel my ache, throbbing, bursting to break free from my pants. I want her mouth, her throat.
His hand slides into my hair and grips me tight, yet sweetly. He pulls me slowly to my feet, his thumb still in my mouth. I dare not let go as my heart beats out of my chest. My thighs are shuddering with heat. Slowly, he pushes me against his desk, his mouth at my neck, biting soft. I can smell the hunger, lust on him. He kisses me softly on my ear and whispers deep, on your hands and knees, on your desk.
Before me, she kneels. I slide my hand over her. I can feel her shudder under my touch. Grip the edge of the desk, kitten, I say. With one hand, I unbuckle and undo my pants, slipping my hard cock free. I push her head down. She moans at the tip, pressing gently at her mouth, parting her lips, and sliding in. Her mouth is wet and warm, her lips falling softly over me.
I take him to my tongue, taste that silky texture, lick with carnal knowledge from end to end of his shaft. I love this. I want this. This fully masculine part of my lover, careful with teeth, inhaling all he is, consuming as far as I can. His hands go to my hair, gripping and holding firm, pulling me forward until I feel him in my throat, tears at my eyes, choking with the pleasure, nose at his groin, my hands at his thighs. It's a push-pull, delicious moment. He has the control, yet he has surrendered all to me.
I grip her tight. I shudder and roar, echoing across my office, my seed shooting into the back of her throat. She does not let go. I know she will take every drop and swallow it all like a good girl. I taught her to be. Slowly, as she slides off me, I pull her by her hair and kiss her mouth, my tongue tasting my lust in her mouth. I put her close against me and hold her for a while and then say, now on my boardroom table, ass in the air.
I survived. Okay, just a minute. I got to breathe. I had forgotten. I don't read things over because if I do, I'd get nervous. So yes. I've forgotten some of what we had written.
I didn't remember all of it. I was reading through it last night and I was like, yeah, I need a cold shower.
Oh, I don't know if I wrote that before or after I did the 20 days on my knees, but oh my goodness. Okay, there's also a part two. I don't know, maybe that's enough. Maybe we should have
people. Yeah, I think it's enough.
I think I'm done. Okay. You said we wouldn't have enough to talk about, and we have been almost talking for an hour.
Oh, wow.
See?
Feels like 10 minutes.
I know. It's fun to talk to me. I can always
keep people
busy talking. I always have so many questions. So you were saying that, to change the subject drastically, what was your home like when you were 17? It was definitely a more innocent time. It was a different time in the world. What was that like when you were young? I mean, did you live there in South Africa?
Yes, now I've always been in South Africa. I've only been outside the country once, and that was to go to Zimbabwe, which is just across the border. So now I've always been here. Yes, growing up, I used to read a lot. Wasn't your typical teenagers. I would just read all day, all night. Go to school, come back home, do homework, read. That was my
anyway,
my life. Also,
now you want to
play some rugby.
And you played some rugby.
Yeah.
Which is where those abs came from, I guess, because you don't get abs from just definitely. Reading. What were you reading obsessively?
Well, obviously, I absolutely love The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I remember the first copy of The Hobbit I read was one of the, I think it was like a 1950s or 60s edition. It still had the color drawings in it.
Oh, and wow.
That just, yeah, that just, that book and then The Lord of the Rings just made me want to read all the time. So I read that. I actually read those, I don't know, 6 or 7 times maybe.
Oh.
I really liked them. And then some Wilbur Smith, I read a lot. Some of Jack Higgins as well. So it's more sort of action fiction type stuff.
Uh-huh.
Some Stephen King, things like that.
You have quoted from The Hobbit before. Do you have those memorized, or did you have to go and look them up?
Some of it I can remember. I mean, I can remember the first line of the Hobbit. It starts off, in a hole in the ground, there lives a hobbit. that I've memorized. But some of it I don't remember the exact words, but I remember reading it. So I'd have a memory of it, not knowing the exact words, and then I'll just go look for it and find it. But there's certain ones you would remember, like All Those Who Wander Are Not Lost and All That Glitters Is Not Gold, that type of thing one always remembers.
And you're good with song lyrics too. Do you remember those 80s song lyrics that you're that you post sometimes? Do you actually remember those, or do you have to go and look those up?
No. I would go Google them to get the correct ones. And a lot of times I found actually at the wrong words in my mind when I was singing along in the car.
I know the feeling. That's Christmas carols for me. I still sing some of the wrong words for Christmas carols. I was a big Duran Duran fan. So Duran Duran will come on now and I'll remember most of the words to those songs. But I, went and sat down and memorized the word. I was a very devoted fan. But some of the other bands, I'm like, I recognize the band, but I don't recognize those lyrics at all.
Yeah, a lot of times people will ask you, do you know this song by this band? And I'd say, no, I don't. And then they'll put on the music and it's, oh, no, I know this song.
I know it.
Yeah, here's the words to it.
But you're singing the wrong words. These are the right words.
Yeah, I'm singing the wrong words. My version sounds better.
Your version is better because you're the poet.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord. So what is the most weird thing that has happened to you on Twitter? Some strange lady coming into your DMs and asking you to write poetry with her? No. What's the weirdest thing?
that was, I'll probably say that was the most, like, because, not seeing myself as a poet or writer, I was like,
excuse me?
Are you sure you're talking to the right person? You're talking to this. I actually don't get a lot of DMs. Tend to think I get a lot of DMs, but I think...
I tend to think you get a lot of DMs.
Yeah, I don't at all. Probably because I'm such a slut on my timeline, but... I don't. And my DMs are normally generally quite clean.
Quite clean?
Yes, it's it's like, how are you? What are you doing? What's up? That type of thing. Why are you naked?
Why are you naked? Why are you taking your belt off? What are you doing, Seven? Go get dressed, please.
No, I haven't. No, it's not been any real weird moments for me other than the fact that you wanted to write with me. No, nothing weird that I can think of.
Oh gosh, well that's boring. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's going to be something way more really interesting than me.
Yeah, I'm not that interesting.
Oh, I don't believe you. I think you're fascinating. I mean, just the fact that you're way across the world is fascinating. There's a. I don't know if you've encountered it yet. You might after this, once women hear you talk in your accent. And that's the other thing. I need you to speak some Afrikaner before you go. yes, that. that there's a fascination for American women for any accent whatsoever. And it really doesn't matter what it is. I mean, really, that'd be like, I've never seen a thread where a woman says, did you hear that guy's accent? It was awful. They're always like, oh, the most amazing thing I've ever heard. Talk more. Say something else. So.
Yeah, Twitter should give us that voice note function. It'd be really interesting.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I was yes, so, at dangerous. Least in the DMs.
So dangerous.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. I mean, they couldn't, it'd be a lot hard. If they're not going to give us an edit button, but it'd be, if they could make it easier just to upload audio. They don't, yes. You know, it's so difficult in the DMs to upload audio and anywhere else you have to go. And if you don't want to be showing your face because, or for whatever, it's just such a pain. It's so.
It's very frustrating, yes.
I've done some audio.
Takes forever to load.
It does. It takes forever to load. And it's just difficult. You probably don't, you can go, even if you do go up to, there's a website called, it's called Soundgasm, and a lot of the erotic audio artists will use it. And you can share the link and then, but it's two hops out and it still takes forever to upload. And then you have to label it and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah. It's a pain. I agree. I want, I'd also like smell-o-vision. Because if you ask me, my senses, not being able to smell people that I meet drives me crazy. I feel like I can only know half of you. I only know half of you. What do you smell like? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I feel crippled by a lack of smell. And I never noticed that until I was on Twitter and started interacting with people so much. I'm like, I can't even tell if you're a nice person if I can't smell you.
Yeah. Someone actually asked me, I think it was yesterday, what do I smell like? And it ended up being a poem thread with just about, I don't know, smell. Mostly smell.
I've got whole poetry smell. About smell.
Yeah.
And then I read it to somebody and they're like, that's your kink. And I'm like, that's not my kink. That's my frustration and not being able to smell.
What do you smell like? What do you sound like? What do you feel like?
Yeah, I don't. It can be a. It's a thing. It's a funny thing. I have three sons and a daughter. And my daughter, she picked one of her brothers that she liked the most because she liked the way he smelled the most, and he was the one least likely to want to spend time with her. But he smelled, you know, because she's the youngest. He smelled the most that she just liked his smell. And the one that wanted to spend time with her, that was like closest in age with her, was like, I don't like how you smell as much. And I think it has to do with blood type, because that child and I have the same blood type, and the other three have their the other two and my husband have the same blood type. And I think she was smelling blood types. That's what I think. But because she was really young, I mean, she was four or five when I asked her this. And it was all about this. And I'm like, you're your mommy's daughter. Of course, I like how they're my kids. So
that's lovely.
So it has been an hour, and I know you have a day. You have things to do, so I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much for coming on and reading poetry with me and chatting with me.
Thank you very much for having me on.
I had a great time. This
yeah, me
a lot
too.
Of
Thanks
fun.
Very much.
Good night, Devin.
Good night to you. Sleep well.
I will. This has been Isabel and Wright's Grown Up Storytime. Thank you so much, you people who joined us and listened to us live. I really appreciate you. And thank you for everybody who listens to the replay. I want to encourage you to go and find Seven's feed on Twitter. Follow his poetry. It's very good stuff. And yeah, I really had a good time. It's so cool to be able to talk to people across the world and record it. Good night.